Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to another one of our Theatre Baltimore conversations. And there's always so much happening in our theatre town, and this company's doing so many interesting things. And this particular group we're talking about today is the Theatre Action Group. Got two more performances on this Race and Privilege series they're doing coming up here in Baltimore in the next week. We're here with Strawberry Gaskins.
Up in the house.
Here she is. Stand-up comic, actress, community organizer, all about radical in town. Brian Francoise, who's an educator, actor, director, advocate. Natalia Brusilovsky, who's community organizer and theater agitator.
Yes.
Good to have you all here.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I love that nom de guerre you gave yourself, theater agitator.
Yes.
What does that mean to be a theater agitator?
Well, it means that in through theater, I want to actually make change in whatever way. Agitate people to start exploring themselves, create discussion, just kind of push things along.
Go ahead, were you going to say something?
No. I was just saying she really is an agitator. I'm just saying.
Thank you. Yes.
So talk for our listeners who have not heard of you before. What is the Theatre Action Group and how did it come together and what do you stand for? What are you? Who are you?
Well, you know, Theatre Action Group actually came out of course at Creative Alliance offered by an OSI fellow, Jody Zisso, and myself. On Theater of the Oppressed, Augusto Boal's system.
Tell us a bit about Augusto. Let's digress into Augusto Boal for a minute.
Let's all throw in some ideas. But I think Augusto Boal was a Brazilian theater maker who also was in a highly difficult political context with juntas leading. He was captured and tortured and really worked for peasant groups and union workers and poor folk. In Brazil, and created a system called Theater of the Oppressed. Now, that word oppressed is kind of problematic, you know, in our North American context, but we call it TO for short. In North America, they call it theater for, in Canada, they call it theater for living. His system of ideas have been adapted all around the planet and around the world to serve different purposes. But the bottom line, it's about taking action, trying out solutions to problems on stage, creating dialogue, and rehearsing solutions to problems for real life. And so we took a five-week class together. And out of that, 15 of the folks wanted to continue and keep doing the work. And so Theater Action was born in around 2005, 2006. And since then, we've done a variety of projects, worked with different partners. And now we've been invited to create this series for Free Fall Baltimore.
And this group, I mean, one thing is about the Theater Action Group, it's obviously very socially, politically minded, a multiracial group.
Yes.
Which is also not common, even in today's world in Baltimore, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Mm-hmm. The last time we spoke, it was you were doing this thing in Hidden Streams Park for the Roots Festival.
Yes.
When you were on Grid.
Yeah. Yes. I had the pleasure of working the play, The Last House Standing, in conjunction with CultureWorks, and that is a result of the CAP grant for Roots Fest. And so we're going back to the Hidden Stream to do a production of this dialogue, which is really exciting because now the seeds are in that community now. So we want to create some dialogue. We want people to come out. We want to have this wonderful conversation. But that whole Boal thing, again, started with you. When I was a little kid,
many years 14, ago.
15 years old, and Mark Steiner came into our school system, and he created this wonderful theater group of young people that were all races.
Right.
And that was a long time ago, so that's cutting edge as it is, and we performed all over the town, as you know. And so when this class came up, again, I was like, oh, my gosh, why do I know this? This is so familiar to me. Then I keep saying it to you, Brian.
Absolutely.
I was like, I know this. Why do I know this? And turns out, Living Stage, the whole nine, you put that seed. So you started
That's good.
Who I am. Thank you very much.
You had a lot more to do with who you are than I had. But this Theater Action Group, you also worked with United Workers on the low-wage workers putting on theater.
We did. They had a theater justice conference, I guess it was last January. And we were just part of the matrix of all of this programming. We offered a workshop. Bashi Rose and Nomo Projects, Nomo Theater also did a workshop.
Puppet Underground.
Anu Yadev, who's a theater educator from D.C., was there. It's great to be part of that conversation, too, with the organizing of all kinds, including working with innovations in union organizing that they're a part of, I think.
So tell me, let's talk about what's going on now, this race and privilege series you're doing, which you've already done some, you were in the East Shore doing some, is that right?
No, we just had a workshop in the East Shore. Yeah, this weekend, we were at UB Blake, shout out to UB Blake.
Yes.
People came out in full force, and we had this dialogue. It was really, really some healing, some listening. It was just on fire. People are ready to talk. They are really ready to talk, and we're glad we're a vehicle for that. And then the night before, we were at
Coldstream Homestead Montebello Community Corporation, a community center in Northeast Baltimore, just south of Lake Montebello.
Right across the street from City College. Mm-hmm.
And community members came out.
It was an integrated show.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
You know, the audience?
Yes.
The audience, that's great.
Yes, everybody.
Absolutely.
Got all perspectives in the house.
So what are you doing? It's called Race and Privilege, and the titles of the things you've done, I'd rather stick a needle in my eye.
Right.
You don't get a pass, and the ones coming up, so we got a black president, so what? And different people, different beliefs, different yearnings, different hopes, different da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. So. Well, you said something just a minute ago. We were hearing about Family Circle being a mixed group. That theater action group, when it began, was a mixed group. And without being too self-congratulatory, that was kind of different and new for a lot of us. But we realized we had a ton of work to do actually on ourselves about a variety of things so that we could build trust and connection. And even the gesture of talking about race and privilege in our own group laid the foundation for a lot of goodwill. We weren't going to solve all the problems overnight in 6 months or a year. And we say the same thing in these performances. It's about coming together. Now, some folks believe, and we come from some anti-racism ideas where it's very useful that white folks have different work to do around race and privilege than, say, other groups or people of color. And sometimes separating and caucusing is necessary before you come together. We're kind of risking with our frame just to see who comes into the space. It's theater allows for multiple perspectives to coexist at one time with our scenes and our projects. It's not about debate. It's about dialogue and listening for understanding that then may catalyze a longer journey for each individual with this discussion of race and privilege.
So what happened? Give us a sense of what happened at the October 22nd event, which was at Coldstream Montebello. I'd rather stick a needle in my eye. And the one you had at the UB Blake Cultural Center just yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Called "You Don't Get a Pass." So what were you doing there? What was the experience? What happened?
Okay.
Well, part of our mission is to look at the nuanced situations that we may not always know. Is this about race? Was that racist? Whatever it is. So part of the strategy that we're using is really looking at those nuanced situations and the complexities of those situations. So, and then we ask the audience to respond. Then we ask the participants to respond to it. And so we have kind of what I'm calling now peer education. And that includes me as a facilitator, but also people in the audience really respond and have completely opposing views and listen to understand each other better and hopefully move the conversation forward into the future.
So we're creating these scenes right there in front of their face. And these scenes are based on real life problems or issues or tensions in the community. And then once we're done, they are to hold up a sign to say, is this about race? Is this about privilege? Is this something else? Or is this darn right racist? And when you look at the cards, they have different words on them.
So give us an example of what you're describing, what you did, and what the response was. Y'all can.
Okay.
Yeah,
which one are we going to do?
Our scenes.
We got to hurry up because we're on the air.
Okay.
All right. Hey, let's do the interview.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. So we have two versions of the same thing.
Yes.
Basically.
Okay.
They're shaking hands.
All right. Thank you. And you will call?
Great. I will call you as soon as we figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we will let you know.
Thank you so
as
much.
As soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
When we decide. Looking at the audience.
And I walk out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hire a black person to work in this black community, but I want to hire a real black person, not a white black person, but a black person.
Good. And Natalia is white, Sheila's black. Now do the scene.
We'll do the same scene.
And
all right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to hearing from you. Thank
no
you.
Problem. Okay.
All right.
And she walks away. I want to hire a black person because this is in a black community. But I want to hire a real black person, not a white black person. A real black person,
So is this about race? Is this about privilege? Is this downright racist? Or is this about something else, hippie?
So then, you know, the audience responds, and people have opposing views, and we learn from each other. One thing that came up actually over the weekend was also the difference between race and ethnicity and culture.
Yeah,
started a lot of conversation. I come from a Jewish background. Is that a race? Is that an ethnicity? Is that a religion?
That's the same discussion the other night.
Absolutely.
With our Arab American friends in a discussion with us about just at a gathering, and they were starting to say, tell us, what do you mean? Is that really an issue for people?
Yeah. So that gets brought up. And also, you know, people of African descent from South America, from the Caribbean. So there's different cultures there too. And where do you... where do you draw the line when you say, is this about race, and what does that mean?
So we have a repertoire of about 12 of these little, we call them little quickies, and they really are a spectrum of nuances. Around.
So can you give us a few more of your quickies?
Yeah, we might. Let's do one, we will. But the greatest part of the weekend was when we then asked the audience, getting into groups, to talk about stories quickly, and under what we call the exquisite pressure of time, come up with a little quickie themselves. Can I tell you, we could not keep them back from coming up on the stage. We were like, oh, are they going to create a scene? Are they going to want to stay in the audience? No, they were so ready.
Yes.
And then they got up, and then we did the same thing with them. And so it really letting us know, like, while we want to share our repertoire, we really also want the community to make theater themselves and see themselves on stage.
And these
awesome.
Are people who maybe never performed before, never acted before, never wrote a play before, and they are so eager, and they're listening to all of these stories at one, and then they have to pick one to show. It's amazing, some of the stuff that came out. It really is. Awesome.
Do you want to do another? How about the Occupy, just for fun?
Okay. All right. We're doing Occupy.
So is that, here we go.
Okay.
So we're both white. Natalia, listen, Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Baltimore. Okay, it's about red, brown, yellow, black, white coming together, okay? It's about us overcoming economic injustice. It's not about race.
No, it is about race, because if you look around, especially at Baltimore, you will see the differences in the economic strata are about race. You see the differences. The brown people are more down, and the white neighborhoods. Take a look at the neighborhoods. Where all the vacant houses are. Take a look at those.
But
it's about race.
It's the thing. We got to transcend race. When you emphasize race, it's actually maybe arguably more divisive. It's a distraction from the real issue, from us like trying to combat the folks economically at the top.
Yeah, but those people at the top are usually white.
And seen. What is this about? Is it race, privilege? Is it racist, or is it about something else, hippie?
Right. So then we get answers.
So the audience just jumps in with their answers and ideas, and they act them out, or they talk them out, or both?
They talk them out. We'll see their responses, and then they look at each other's responses, and if they want to comment on it, we go over there and they talk.
It's like a game show kind of format for now.
Yeah.
One thing, Mark, is that this is a series of dialogues really to fuel a larger piece of theater we're going to create in a year. And maybe folding in some of these stories and perspectives, and maybe folding in company members to join the ensemble to have something by the end of the year that's more performative, but still always going to be interactive, I think.
Right.
Anyway, just want to mention that.
And so when you, what about the titles that you all came up with? I'd rather stick a needle in my eye and...
Yeah. Well, I'd rather stick a needle in my eye is based on the fact that so few people, I think especially people of privilege, but maybe I'm wrong, so few people actually want to talk about race and privilege. People are afraid of getting yelled at. People are afraid of the confrontation, of the extreme shame, guilt, paralyzation that might come from talking about race and privilege.
And I've actually heard people say that. I work with some college-age students, too, and they have, you know, diversity programs that they have to go to. And one kid looked at me and said, I'd just rather stick a needle in my eye than have to go to this thing this afternoon. So
this diversity thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, all the expressions of the show, it's really the same show, but we just decided that we wanted to title each
run differently.
Differently, yeah.
But those titles are also titles of structures that we have
right.
in our piece.
Right, right.
So let's say when you're going to do, so we got a black president, and what?
Right.
Okay. What will you do?
So a lot of that is surprise, but the expression is, so we got a black president, and what? And so you are to think of what it is that 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 means to you. So I'll just give a little example because we don't want to throw it away. So we got a president and what? And I know when I go into my children's school and I see a long list of white presidents, at the end of that president, I see somebody that could be my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a black president and what?
And there are still close to 3 million Americans incarcerated at higher rates than ever before.
So we got a black president and what?
And people are shouting out liar. Congressmen are shouting out liar in the middle of Congressional Hall during the State of the Union for the first time ever.
This is on you. So we got a black president and what?
And we still have lots of folks living in poverty who can't get out and people losing their jobs right and left. And black folks and people of color have like 25% unemployment. So
right.
What?
Yeah.
So
what? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, is the next question.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's how it goes. It's rhythmic.
I like
responsive.
It could also be positive. I thought about something else. Or it could be.
Yeah, it could be anything you want.
It's just a beautiful sight to see a black family in the White House after slavery and all these years of racism and segregation. Whether you agree with everything he's doing or not, they're there.
That's right. That's right. That's what I say.
It's
really exciting. One of the things I think about on any given night in the White House, somebody could be getting their hair cornrowed. What?
That's right.
What? That's awesome.
And slaves built the White House.
Hello.
There you go.
Hello. Hello. So, yeah, it's definitely celebratory.
I said interesting. So, mm-hmm. so you want – anybody can come to this?
Everybody. We had youth. We had seniors.
Kids last night.
Everybody in between.
And we purposely are going to different sites around town to see who might come, who will make up the audience. You know, Cold Spring, Montebello, Homestead, Montebello community, UB Blake, Station North of Strand this coming, was it Friday?
Saturday.
And then Sunday afternoon, Hidden Streams over.
Which Hidden Streams is outside, so please dress accordingly.
Yeah, we already saw the weather. It's going to be in the 50s or something. We need to wear some layers for that night.
But we'll have tents just in case it rains.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, it would be good to have something inside. It's raining.
Right.
You want a cold Baltimore rain. So how often, this is something, I know that you don't do this like every moment of the day, but because you can make a living as well doing other things.
Right.
Yeah, we wish we could make a living doing this. It'd be awesome. That's what we're looking forward to doing. Hint, hint. Message.
We do go out into communities, yes.
So when you do this, I mean, what do you hope comes out of this? So you bring theater, performance to multiracial audiences and communities all over the city to wrestle with these issues of race and privilege in this particular instance.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this goes? How does it? What happens with this? You're like an agitprop theater in some ways.
In some ways, but I think it's about what typically has been kept apart coming together. So it's maybe high minded and idealized to talk about. Just saying that, you know, we are segregated in our communities in terms of entertainment and what we do and what we want to talk about. Sometimes not. There are places in Baltimore where there's increasingly different folks coming together and negotiating culture and understanding each other, but it's a process. So in our small way, I think we are trying to take the piece to share dialogue and model what it means to come together around this issue and show that and demonstrate that art and culture and story might be a very powerful way to do that. What do you guys think?
And not always, and also, I mean, I completely agree and so much more, but I just want to point out the fact that it's not, even though it may be really heavy, it's not, and difficult, we can also laugh about it. We can also have fun creating these scenes and talking about them and dialogue about them in an open way so that we have a better understanding of each other.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to laugh so that you don't cry. And some of these situations are so absurd that we've created a clown.
Yeah,
the theater.
Yeah, we're trying to play with forms that deal with humor. So I've been studying clown. We're looking at clown like European clown, not the scary birthday clown with makeup. In fact, we got that from the audience.
Right.
Like, so we got to create a clown that's more innocent and vulnerable, and just trying to. Trying to solve a problem, and so we have the scene where a clown character is very curious about this black woman's hair and wanting to touch it, and yet One folk said, you know, I see innocence, I see a child, so it's curiosity. But if it's a context of a middle-aged man like myself trying to touch a black woman's hair as a clown, it's something threatening and scary. But either way, we're just trying to play with humor, and it's celebration and joy and pleasure while we're also having difficult dialogues or challenging
dialogues. We're also trying to bring people out. I mean, you know, this computer age is wonderful, but I don't need to see you now. I could just talk into a machine, or I could talk into a cell phone, and I don't have to have FaceTime with one another. And this is an opportunity for everybody to come out and sit around and just talk to each other in their face about things that they know that are happening all over.
Yeah, we sometimes say that some of the most radical things you can do this day is just show up, you know,
yeah,
to stuff.
Show up.
Right. And yet, what is one of our goals? It's to go out, keep touring, moving, and being present and giving opportunities for a congregation to talk through art and celebration. But the ultimate goal, I don't know. That's do you guys have any thoughts?
The ultimate goal, I would love to be in like a big college setting with like hundreds and hundreds of people doing the same type of show, and being able to travel and, of course, live and feed my children, because it's necessary. People want to talk. I mean, again, everything is computer. Everything is not in your face. And this is a vehicle to just let people sit down and take a deep breath and just be in each other's space and create right there. That's what I enjoy and envision.
I love the creating right there. Theater of the Oppressed comes from one of the tenets is that the community actually creates their own scenes, their own theater, so that they can express it to others in a way that's understandable, so that they can share with each other in a way that other people understand a little bit more, storytelling. Mm-hmm.
But I do want to add just one quick thought. You know, this work of community-based art is on a continuum for me and I think for my colleagues, which is participation and showing up is revolutionary. But the other end is where the work you're doing does lead to some kind of measurable change, whether it's policy or legislation. And Bilal, one of the things he did is he would create these events where you get people to come, and he would actually, because he got elected as an assemblyman to Rio, and he pushed through 16 laws essentially by directly consulting the community through this kind of dialogue. And he's sort of the shaman, the joker that says what is consensus here, and then wrote the law and actually got legislation changed. So campaigns, policy is on one end, political activism. And then on the other end is just being present and creativity and participating. But all of that continuum for us is social change and justice.
Yeah, and somewhere in that continuum is also kind of behavior change and the way that we think. Hopefully will also change our belief systems. How much we understand each other, what we learn from each other is also on that continuum. So
also, I think, especially in the art world, we really are so segregated. It is ridiculous. And we're supposed to be, like-minded, and we're supposed to be progressive. But if you're still doing your same type of plays, using your same people who are you're comfortable with that look like you, saying the same thing over and over again that's been done, what exactly are you doing? Is that growing? I don't think so. In most cities, you can tell the progressiveness of the city based on the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wonderful, wonderful arts community here in Baltimore that it's just covered over and masked, and it needs to be unscathed so we can move on as a city.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think that there's a lot of connections here that should be made between theater groups and artistic groups that are just doing the same stuff. And often it is kind of in the nature of our cities, sadly. I think what you're saying is right, Sheila, that you know, you see companies are almost all white or black. Or they're
maybe one token in there.
You know, and there's theater companies inside the black community that seem to
be there. Stay there, yeah, you comfortable, know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I think that's important as well, to be comfortable, but also, you know, if, you know, like I called myself an agitator, I want to push the boundaries of comfort. I want to go into other communities where I'm not so comfortable and try to make change, because that's what I think will
leave your comfort zone.
Yeah, leave your comfort zone.
Right.
And again, humbly saying this, TAG, I guess, is just trying to model what that could look like. Coming together across lines of difference and recognizing that there's work to do in the group while we also make art. So last night we were at UB Blake, primarily an African-American audience. In fact, I think I was the only white man in the room. But we met a documentarian, a visual artist. We met some young people. And out of those relationships and that gesture of trying to talk about this, we might fold more folk into the process. And again, just be a humble model for what other groups might be afraid to do. And I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense. But
we intentionally try to.
Yeah, intention.
Yeah.
It's intentional.
To show what they're
doing. And this coming week, they're going to be, what is it? Is it Thursday, October 29th? Is that Thursday?
It's actually Friday.
That's a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Saturday
it's
night.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday night and Sunday.
Yep.
Here we go. I got it. You're right. Saturday night and Sunday. So it's Saturday, October 29th, 8 p.m. at the Strand Theater, 1823 North Charles Street. And then at Hidden Stream Park, 500 block of North Whittier Street.
Which is on the corner of Franklin and Cary.
Cary, right. Which is where the Roots Festival was.
Where the Roots Festival was.
Yep.
The community is trying to reclaim that neighborhood is theirs.
Right.
Yes. They're creating a beautiful art space. They're adding all sorts of wonderful, comforting, and vibrant art all over that park.
They are. I think that's more what's happening around the city. It's too bad. There's a lot of this. I was going to say too bad that people aren't kind of knowing each other. Maybe they do know each other. It's difficult just to come together. But there's so much this energy bubbling up from the bottom.
Right.
So, folks, we want you to come out. But can you give us one more thing to stir them up?
One more thing to stir them up.
Stir them up.
So there is a segment that we call Why White People Always Got to Put Their Hands on Stuff. And it really is literal. It really is literal.
But it's also a metaphor.
Yeah, but it is literal. And I say this because I went to a conference one time, and there was a lady, and she was white, and she was in charge of the cookies. And she had these Petrus Farms cookies, and she had six packs of Petrus Farms cookies. And everyone knows Petrus Farms cookies have their own sleeves in them.
Right.
So she, in charge of desserts, she opened up every cookie pack and took out every cookie and put it on the plate with her hands. For everyone to eat. So that's my thing. Why white people always got to put their hands on stuff? Why white people always got to put their hands on everything? Now, I didn't say put their hands in everything, because that would be different.
And so we play with that metaphor throughout the show.
And I have a poem.
She was that wonderful poem. And
it was just an observation.
Yeah.
And then people throw up cards and talk about
No, not on that one. No, but they do reference it. Like mm-hmm. I know Hidden Streams was like, yeah, that's because they put their hands on stuff. I mean, not Hidden Streams, like UB Blake, that man kept saying that. So.
But then later on, my clown is holding this book with big print on it that says, How Not to Put Your Hands on Stuff.
Right.
And then I reveal with my red nose, and I see then Sheila and her big fro and wig, and then I'm just looking at the book but can't resist to want to go out and reach and touch the hair. So, you know, we keep playing.
Yeah.
Theater Action Group. You got to make these dates. Two performances left of Race and Privilege in the city.
You can find the event just on Facebook. Just put Race and Privilege in our event page.
It's also in the Free Fall Baltimore part.
Go to our website at Free Fall Baltimore. Yeah. We're listed there.
It'll all be on our website as well to attach. Good. Sheila Gaskins, Brian Francois, Natalia Brusilovsky.
Thank you.
It's been
great.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank
you. A lot of fun. Anytime. Every time.
Thank you. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.